Hi, and welcome to another one of our broadcasts. Today I'd like to kind of look at John chapter 15, verses 9 through 10, where it continues with the thought of, as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide therefore in my love, even as I abide in his love. Now here we see that Christ teaches his disciples that to abide in him was to abide in his love. In fact, the hour was coming for his suffering, and he could not talk to them face to face in the same manner that he had all this time for very much longer. And it was very important that they understood that he really did care about them and that he wanted them to continue to abide in him. As they began to face all these many questions as to what abiding in him and his love meant, he basically anticipated and met each one of their questions and gave his own explanation from what was going on that evening as his best example of what was going on. As kind of an example and a rule for their abiding in his love, they just had to look at how he maintained himself in the Father's love. In light of this clear union of the Father with the Son, the union with him also becomes clear. It kind of echoes in his high priestly prayer that's seen in the 17th chapter where he says, keep them one as you and I are one. So this thought continues on as we go forward, because the blessed union that Jesus Christ has with the Father throughout all eternity is the same kind of life and relationship that we're supposed to be having with our thoughts and expectations in regard to abiding in Christ. In fact, as Jesus talked about in John chapter 6, verse 57, that he lives in by the Father and allows his believers that partake of him in communion to also live. This is what's being talked about in John chapter 6, is the connection between the Eucharist and abiding in Christ. Now, for Catholics, this takes a very particular direction. It points to why we go to Mass, what we experience in Mass, and the high point of Eucharistic celebration is the communion moment where we go forward and we receive the Blessed Sacrament. And it also explains why there is such a rigorous look from a Catholic perspective of what this is. This really is Jesus in the bread and wine. It's not just bread. It's not just wine. It's not some little memorial. It's a truly changed relationship between us and what we're devouring, because we're devouring Christ. And it's in this that we take in who Jesus Christ is. It always surprises me when Catholics will say the same thing that you hear many Protestants saying, that they go to their service but they get nothing out of it, because I always have to wonder if they really truly mean that, because if they really understood that when they go forward for communion that they receive the Blessed Sacrament, that should be something more for them. It's kind of that deeper thing that many people do not get into on a day-to-day basis, but really need to understand. So as we begin to think about this and we really appropriate this for ourselves, we need to understand that with communion, with going to Mass, we're able to abide in Christ in a way that is beyond what most people are able to see. And we know realistically that when Jesus is talking about how you are to eat the body and blood of himself in communion, that this was a hard saying for those who heard him speak, because it toward the end of the sixth chapter of John's gospel, it talks about how many walk away from him because this is a difficult saying. How are we supposed to eat your body and drink your blood? The thought process is, are we supposed to be cannibals? And that's kind of something that was talked about before. It's not that we go and we have a memorial. We have a real, true receiving of Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. And that's kind of the big thing to be pointed out here. So as we continue to see how this blessed union with Jesus Christ is seen in our lives and as we abide in Christ and fulfill that need to be abiding in Christ through the partaking of the Blessed Sacrament, it should guide us into more about how our life is hidden in Christ in the Father, how they are one, they have a life that is one life, and they love in a very similar manner. In fact, the deeper abiding of Jesus Christ, abiding in the Father, has its root. Though dwelling here on earth, he knew that he was still one with the Father, and that the Father's life was in him and his love was in him. And it was this very knowledge of the abiding in the Father and his love that really was the cement that made Jesus who he was. And it's why later on, when the church wrestled with how that was possible, they came up with the idea of the triunity of God, that God is three persons but one being in essence. And that's pretty much what's being related here. And it's a blessed mystery that it continues on, as the Apostle Paul talks about in the fifth chapter of Ephesians, when he points out that it is the mystery of marriage, when the two flesh become one, that actually shows the relationship between Christ and the believer, or Christ and the church. And it said the church, because in the church, all of us who are part of the church, that's you, me, and everybody else, are included in on this unity with Christ. So it takes on a very deeper meaning of understanding that dwelling in Christ means dwelling in a particular family or body or religious institution, if you really want to go that far with it. But it's more getting this kind of thought process in the back of our mind. Because this knowledge of abiding in the Father and his love is what Jesus Christ carried about through every day of his life. And therefore, we're called to abide in Christ and in his love in the same way. We need to know that we are one with Christ. We need to know that there is a unity of our nature with him that Paul talks about when he talks about us being united with Christ, or Christ being united with the church, and using marriage as an example. We need to really understand it by our birth in new birth, when we are baptized, we partake of this divine nature, as 2 Peter 1 verse 4 talks about. It's this unity that we have, this uniting with him that comes together, because there is a real true link that binds us to him, and it's something that makes us really truly one with him. It's a binding to him, much like in a married sense, but a little bit more closer. And this is the link that happens to us, and it's the link of a divine life, an eternal life, a life of God in us. In fact, our claim on him is just as sure and always availing us as it was of him dwelling in the Father, because our union with him is one that is meant to be so perfectly it's supposed to be a perfect union. I'll just leave it at that, because I can't think of the other word I was trying to think of, because it's something that should carry the image of us being united to him, like we're welded together. It's that whole grafting into the vine, into the branch, and it should show us that just as he's tasted the humiliation on earth, we should be able to taste the blessedness and strength of knowing Jesus Christ as the object of our love and where we dwell every day. As we become one with him and yield ourselves to be loved by him, the way we view our lives should open up to us this reality of love that shines and presses in on us at every moment from every side. And we really get rooted and grounded in the love of God. In fact, Paul writes in Romans chapter 5 that the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's kind of a reality that we need to really understand that this is what it's all about. In fact, John goes so far in John 15, verse 10, to say that just as he's kept his Father's commandments, we are to abide in his love. And it's an abiding that shows a life of subjection and dependence to God. And it's not seeing that as losing any kind of freedom or will, because it's something that's done in love. If we think about how a person loves us and cares for us, they put our needs before anything that would be in their life that would hinder from any further growth in our ability to truly experience life. So it's something that in our proud and self-seeking nature, this thought of dependence and subjection is a great sacrifice. But if we truly understand the life of love that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, lived, and which he invites us to live in this unity as a branch on the vine, we'll see that we should not be afraid of losing anything by giving up all for what God our Father asked us to do. And it just shows us that the love of God that sent his only begotten Son is a true love, because that's really what it is. It's a giving up, that he gave up everything in heaven to come down to spend 30 some odd years on planet Earth, experience all the same hardships and sufferings that you and I face every day, and then triumph over them once he died on the cross. And this is pretty much what the importance is. But it also shows that this dependence on the part that we're supposed to play with God is a dependence that the Son himself experienced. Because as John 5 verse 19 points out, the Son does nothing of himself, but what he actually sees the Father in heaven doing. And he also adds to that, what things soever that the Father had done, these are the deeds that the Son has done likewise. For the Father has loved the Son and showed him all the things that he is to be doing. And he does that for us too. That's what the commandments are about. It's about showing us the love that he has for us. In fact, when we think about how we are to love one another, it's how we are loved ourselves. Not a selfish love, but a love with which we love, understanding the love of God in Christ Jesus that shed abroad in our heart, that he died for us while we were yet sinners, while we were yet ungodly, while we had no worth whatsoever in his eyes. He died for us, because that's what love is and does and still keeps doing. So the believer who studies this particular pattern that Christ lived for us and shows us exactly what it is, we begin to understand just exactly how he can declare that without us we can do nothing, and about how Paul cried out in Philippians 4:13 that to declare that we could do all things through Christ who strengthens us. In fact, when we learn the glory of infirmities and take pleasure in the necessities and distresses that we partake for Christ's sake, not seeing sickness, disease, weaknesses, and stuff like that as a real hindrance or a real curse, we begin to see, like Paul, that the thorn in our flesh, the thing that keeps us down and keeps us humble, are really things where we can, when we're weak, we can say we're strong. This is the whole point of the thorn in the flesh portion found in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10. And we begin to rise above the ordinary stuff, which many Christians speak of their weaknesses when they think about consenting unto certain sins that they can't overcome. Because as you begin to abide in the love of Christ, you begin to learn from Christ that very divine love of emptying yourself and giving yourself as a sacrifice to others in a way that truly lifts you above into a more holier path. In fact, dependence, subjection, and self-sacrifice are all that Christians do to imitate Christ by picking up their cross daily and following him. Because just as Christ lived through and in the Father, even so the believer now is called to live through and in Christ who is crucified, whom Paul declares, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but not I. It is Christ who lives in me." This is a very important scripture for us to really get, especially when we connect it into abiding in Christ. So let's continue to think about this and really understand the love that the Father had in Christ, that he makes available to us through Christ, that if we are truly able to completely, entirely give ourselves to the Father's will and glory, we too will be crowned with the same glory and honor that Jesus has been crowned with. In fact, it's because of this obedience that Christ has that allows us to learn to become more obedient and trust ourselves and our interest to his love in a way that really deepens the relationship that we're trying to have with God and not just religion. Because as we begin to truly get into this, we'll be able to experience the glorification that comes from truly experiencing Christ. As 2 Thessalonians 1:12 points out, we receive glory upon glory. And that glory is something that we receive from God Himself. And it is a taste, the foretaste of eternity, when we will experience the blessedness of being with God forever. So we begin to acknowledge the true and absolute nature of humanity, to be representatives of God, to truly be in the likeness and image of Christ, or Christians, Christ-like, as that word really means, and to entrust everything to His power. Because as we begin to trust in the counsels, the commandments, the things that we know of Him that we're supposed to be doing, and we let Him intercede to influence His rule through the church and the world by us, that we will truly become the vehicles by which grace comes into the world. We can truly be the kind of intercessors and mediators of a covenant and ambassadors of the goodwill of God to all that we were initially made to be. Because the Spirit knows no other dwelling than someone who truly seeks to be nothing more than an instrument for divine work. And it is a blessed life of love for the soul that abides in Christ's love, even as Christ abides in the Father, because we're truly living out what it is to be Christ-like when we do that. We need to see our lives not as the water that pours out and refreshes. We need to see ourselves as the fire hose that basically channels the water that cools out and refreshes. So, believer, I ask you to abide in the love of Christ. I ask you today to take and study the revelation of God that is revealed to us, and really understand what communion is supposed to be for each one of us, to where we can really take a pledge of God to truly have supper, if you will, with the Father and the Son by fellowshipping with Jesus Christ in this blessed sacrament. And as we continue to move forward, we'll be blessed and experience the glory of the life that God has for us through His life-giving sacrifice of Himself back to us. For it is in the abiding in Christ that we are freed from fear, and we do no longer have to worry about doing Christian service as a burden or a work, because in the light of the face of the Father, we begin to rest in a blessed union with Him. And there's a more outflowing fountain of joy and strength that comes from having a peace that surpasses all understanding in this matter. So to abide in the love of God and to really experience His mighty saving, keeping, and satisfying love is the whole call of abiding in Christ and really having a relationship with God, not just some religious external observance. Because this is what we're being called to. This is what we're really supposed to be reaching out for with everything in our life, and continue working until we get the entire life from above, to where it really is experienced, not just in eternity, but in everyday experiences today in this life. Because we need to have our souls united unto God. We need to have a certain kind of gaze upon the life of Christ and see how Christ in the Father remained there from the time He became a babe in the womb of Mary till the day that He was ascended into heaven, and still continues today. Because my dear, sweet, precious souls, the ones that are out there really struggling, I just want you to just be still and know that God is God. Listen, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. Just listen to what He has to say. Really let every thought be hushed until this word enters into your heart as well, where you can really hear God the Father saying, "My child, I do love you. Even as I have loved Christ, I love you. And therefore abide in Christ's love, this love that I'm giving to you in Christ. Even as you abide in me, abide in Christ and in the love, because it's only then that your life on earth will really be a perfect counterpart to the life that Christ has in heaven. Because this is what we really need to let sink deep down inside of us and really understand. So if we let this thought come into our minds and we don't hesitate and wonder if it's just something for special people who become saints, but if it's something really true for us, and if we really, really reach forward and understand it, we'll understand that Christ was the revelation of the Father on earth, that when we see Christ, we see the Father, and that we truly can know the most perfect unity that exists in all of everything. And it's the unity of the Father to the Son, the unity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the entire Trinity loving us as one. And when we experience that love of eternal love and abide in that love, we truly become that revelation of Christ to the earth, where if they see you, they see Christ. And that should be our ultimate goal, is being that image of Christ, that image and likeness of God that transforms the world, that true representative. Because there is no way that this is possible unless we learn how to really be united as a branch on a vine. We really need to understand that if Christ truly loves us with an infinite love and gives himself to everything that we need taken care of, and if we truly abide in that love, we can ask our Heavenly Father to show us that love and make us with all the saints to know a love that is beyond understanding, that love that's declared in Ephesians 3:19. For we can truly pray, Lord, show us in your own blessed life what it is to abide in your love, and set our sights so fixed within us that it will be impossible for us for even one single hour to seek anything else in life other than abiding in your love. Hopefully this is a something you'll be able to take today and move forward with, and it will be a true blessing for you. I really can't clarify this anymore. And if you really need to figure out how to hook up to it on a more regular basis and all that, God's provided to us something in natural means, a means of going to Mass and receiving Blessed Sacrament Communion, to really begin to see how Christ abides in us and we abide in Christ by just partaking of communion, being at Mass. And this is something that should really deepen us a little bit more, that every time we go to Mass, we're getting deeper into the love of God. We're really abiding in God the way we ought to be. And it's why this sacrament is so important, so necessary for us to really understand what it is. So this is kind of the big thing here. I hope this is a blessing to you, and you're really beginning to get something out of all these little bitty lessons that I'm trying to put together and explain about how to be in Christ and really experience his love. Because it's very important that we get this, to truly become Christians who don't just have a religion, but have a relationship with God, our Father, and really have an experience of love that takes us to the next level. So if this podcast has been a blessing to you, I hope you join with all of our other patrons and submit a $5 a month pledge to support this ministry. There is a link available on the Podbean website, where if you go to the patron.podbean.com/detesh, you'll be able to set up your information and provide that $5 support. And with that support, you'll be able to gain access to some extra podcasts that I'm putting together on prayer, so that you can grow a little bit more spiritually and get a little bit more in depth with God. And in all things, even if you don't do that, I hope you at least keep downloading every day and getting this information, so that you too can find the greater things of God. And in all, I hope today you have a very blessed day.